the title of this morning's teaching is Got Love. And as we have seen, especially last week, you know, we saw the importance of loving one another. It's absolutely essential. In fact, this whole letter of 1 John, it's one of those deals where over and over again we see the importance of loving God and loving our brothers and sisters. And we saw last week in verse 14 of chapter 3 that we saw that it says, "He who does not love his brother abides in death." Now, abides in death, that's pretty ominous, wouldn't you say? And Ken is blowing it on the graphic. There we go. Thank you. No love, death, you know. I mean, that's pretty scary. Abides in death. Well, if love is that important, and it is. I mean, it's not just in 1 John we read about that. If God puts such a high priority on love, then doesn't it make sense that we would want to know if we're loving or not? Right? I mean, and we should. I mean, if you're really loving your brother, you know, how do you tell? Is it that you get a warm, fuzzy feeling or something when they walk by? Or like we saw last week, that aroma of life? Yeah, that's a good thing. But how can you be for sure? And, you know, as we've seen over and over again in 1 John, you know, that there is that need for love. But wouldn't it be great if God gave us a checklist that we could actually go down the list and see, you know, well, this, yeah, all of those things mean I'm loving. Oh, well, no, I'm not doing that, whatever. Wouldn't it be great if God gave us a checklist? But you know what? I think He has. And we're going to see that today. We're going to see some ways that we can kind of put our finger on, some tangible ways to see if we're loving or not. So let's go ahead and jump right in. 1 John chapter 3. And let's read the first part of verse 16 to start with. He says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us." See, that's the first thing that we can really understand that God loves us, is because Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. We know that God loves us because of that. See, if Jesus hadn't come to the earth and laid down His life for us, we really couldn't be sure of a number of things. I mean, we wouldn't be sure if God exists, because the Old Testament prophecies, it spoke of Messiah coming and all that. And if He wouldn't have come, then, hey, maybe God doesn't exist. Maybe all that stuff is made up. It didn't happen like it was supposed to. Or, if He does exist, and the Bible is His Word, which it is, and it tells us that God is holy, He's righteous, altogether, and we're not, that we have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, but yet it says that God loves us, that if that was true and everything, and Jesus didn't come, then we would think, well, maybe God's not smart enough to figure out a solution to this problem of our sin and His righteousness and being able to have fellowship with us. How, you know, if He didn't come, then maybe He couldn't figure it out. Or maybe He wouldn't be powerful enough, we would think. Maybe God's not powerful enough to handle that problem, to not only figure it out, but to be able to do something about it. Or if He was real, and God's Word is His Word, the Bible is His Word, and He's smart enough to figure it out, and He's powerful enough to figure it out, maybe He just doesn't love us. We wouldn't know for sure those things if Jesus hadn't come to earth and died for our sins. All of those problems, though, are answered in Jesus Christ, aren't they? I mean, not only do we see that God exists, and He was made known, He's made manifest, He came down, and He showed Himself to us in all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus. But also, it showed us that, oh yeah, He was smart enough to figure it out. That all of us that have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, that one man, if one man could live perfect without sin, then he could die for the rest of the human race. And then by faith in that death, we could be saved. And not only was He smart enough, but He was powerful enough. He was not only powerful enough to come and be born as a man, but He was powerful enough to live a sinless life so that He could die for us. And then He again showed His power by raising from the dead. So yeah, He was powerful enough. But in doing all of that, this we know, God loves us. Because not only could He do it, but He did it. He did it to show us how much He loves us. He did all of those things. And so now we know, and over we've seen it, we have to have that same kind of love. And that's what the second part of the verse says there in verse 16. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We might have to die for one another. Well, if necessary, yeah. But you know what? That's actually the easy part, isn't it? Dying for one another. It's the other thing of laying down our lives. It's harder. It's the living. Look at verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? See, the laying down of the life is not just taking a bullet for somebody, but it's there seeing somebody that you love in need and say, you know what, I can meet that need. And then meeting the need. That's laying down your life. You know, you might say, well, that would mean that I'm not able to do this or that if I do that, if I help them out. Or that would mean that I won't have that for myself if I give it to them, if they need it, but I might need it. Well, that's exactly what it means. That's what laying down your life is. It's sacrificing yourself for somebody else. That's dying to self so that somebody else is blessed by that. Well, he goes on, and in fact, before we do, understand, that's number one on the checklist there. Are you laying down your life for your brother or for your sister? But he goes on, look at verse 18. He says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So it's not enough just to say it. It's not enough to say, oh, I love you, man. You know, but you got to do it. My wife and a lot of the gals from church, they are in a habit now of telling each other when they're saying goodbye, whether it's on the phone or they're leaving one another, they're in the habit of saying, hey, I love you. You know, all right, love you, bye. And they do this all the time. And in fact, this is kind of a side note, but she was encouraging me a while back, you guys need to do it. And it's like, well, they do it every now and then, you know. It's like, hey, man, I love you, man. All right, yeah, you know, kind of deal. We do that. And my wife and I were walking last week. We were out for a walk, and I forgot what happened, whether I had to make the phone call or she called me. But Roxanne, the gal who was singing up here that was in black, she's not only Johnny Cash's clone woman thing. No, she's not only on the worship team and leading the women's ministry, but she's also the church secretary. And I was talking to her on the phone while we were walking, and when we were through talking, I said, all right, God bless you. You know, see ya. And my wife says, well, why did you tell her you loved her? I said, understand. I'm the pastor. She's the church secretary. It ain't going to happen. I understand. It's like, okay, not like that. But still, it just you just felt weird. It's like that whole, not even going to go close. But the deal is, the gals that are telling each other that they love each other, they're not just saying it. They pray for each other. When they call up and say, hey, you know, oh, yeah. And I see my wife praying, and I know that she prays. And these other gals, they're praying for her. They're praying for each other. And they do whatever it takes to meet the need. They will do whatever is needed because they love one another. And the guys, they're doing it too. And I mean, well, you know, we may have a hard time saying, I love you, man. You know, but a while back, you know, somebody needed a roof on their house. The guys got together, went over and put on a roof. That's how us guys say, I love you, right? Tools, man. That's how we say it. Yeah. But that's really what it's about. It's not just coming out mouth saying I love you. It's going and doing something. See, real love causes action. It causes us to do something that is loving, that gives of ourselves, that lays our own needs down and says, no, your needs are more important. In fact, it might even be good. Why don't you go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's get God's definition of love. And in fact, there's a whole list there. This is the bulk of our checklist here to really see what God calls love. See if we're doing it. If we got this thing called love, are we doing love? 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. First thing he says, love suffers long and is kind. And the truth of the matter is, people you love sometimes make you suffer, right? In fact, people have said marriage is like a three-ring circus. You've got the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffer ring. I know, that's a bad one. It's bet. But somebody laughs, so they're just as guilty, all right? The deal is, though, if you've been married for more than a week, you know from time to time you make your spouse suffer, or they make you suffer from time to time, don't they? You do things that irritate them, that bugs them, that, kind of deal. But, you know, if you love that person, you'll suffer for a long time and then turn around and be kind. Your response is kindness to them if you're loving. But then he goes on and says, love does not envy. See, if you love somebody and they get blessed, God blesses them, even if it's something that you wanted. You love them, and so you're happy that they get blessed. You're not saying, oh, I should have been the one to get that. That's mine. Not there. God, why did you give that to them? No, you're saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you blessed them. Love doesn't envy. And then he says, love does not parade itself. In other words, love doesn't have to show off and draw attention from other people to itself. Love is comfortable with you getting the spotlight. You don't have to have, you know, everybody looking at you all the time. But he also says, love is not puffed up. In other words, love isn't conceited. It isn't something that tries to make more of itself. If you love somebody, if you love others as we're supposed to, then you don't have to make yourself out to look like more than you actually are. You're okay with other people looking better than you. That's okay. And then it says, love does not behave rudely. Guys, especially, you catch that one? If we love one another, then we are not rude to the ones that we love. And so many guys forget that aspect once they get married. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. That's really what we're talking about when we're talking about laying down our lives, aren't we? If we really love, then we're not in it just for what we can get. If I love you, and I do, then I'm going to be happy to focus my effort and concentrate on how you can be blessed. It's not going to be all about me. And that's so important when we think about serving the Lord, when we think about being committed to serving Him. And I hear from time to time people say, oh, I just don't want to make that commitment because I want to be able to do this for me and that for me. You need to pray about that, because that's not love. That's seeking your own. We need to be considered as to how we can be used by God to bless other people. That's love, folks, laying down our lives. We don't seek our own. But he also says, love is not provoked. And you could translate that, love does not have a short fuse. See, love, you love somebody, they're not going to be making you quick to blow up. You're going to be patient with that person. But he also says, love thinks no evil. Some of your Bibles may say, keeps no record of wrong. Because that's what it means. It means that you don't keep a list of all the evil things that somebody has done for you. And you know, well, last week he did this, and then a week ago he did, you know, before that he did this, and then this morning said that. And you get this list going. If you're keeping a record of the evil that is done to you, oh, it's going to be very, very hard to love that person. It's going to be very hard to respond in love if you've got this whole list going. No, he says, love just forgets about that stuff. Doesn't think of evil. And then it says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. You get happy about the truth. You get happy when good things happen to those you love. You don't get happy. You don't rejoice in iniquity. If somebody sins against them, if something bad happens to them, you don't get happy about that. No, you get happy when good stuff happens. But also, love bears all things. That, you know what that means, folks? It means putting your shoulder under the load. Sometimes physically, you know? Oh, you're moving next week? Well, okay, I'll help. You know, you didn't want to, but you love them. They say, okay, I'll bear all things. Even I'll bear one end of your couch, moving it, you know, into the truck and getting over to your new house, whatever. You get under that load. Whatever the load is, you help bear it. But he also says love believes all things. Now, that doesn't mean to be gullible. Believing all things means giving the benefit of the doubt. In other words, if you do or say something to me, and maybe I could take it two different ways. Well, if I'm believing all things, then I am going to assume that you meant the best. I'm going to assume that you meant what was good and all that. I'm not going to say, yeah, I know what she said, but I know what she meant. You know, you're not going to do that. You're going to say, no, I'm going to believe the best out of them. No, she didn't mean that when she said it. She meant this. She meant, you know, she wouldn't say something like that. She wouldn't mean something like that. She just probably used the wrong words. That's what believing all things is. Don't we need to practice that? Man, we get so easily offended sometimes. It's because we're not loving. And then he says, love hopes all things. And that what that is, it's believing all things on credit. It's when somebody says, you know, I messed up. I sinned against you. I'm sorry. I promise I'll never do that again. And so you say, all right, I accept that. I apology. I forgive you. And I will believe that you're not going to do that to me again. I will hope all things. I will anticipate the best out of you in the future and for the future. And so you hope all things for them. But then finally he says, love endures all things. See, if you love, you're going to endure all things. In other words, love doesn't throw up its hand and say, that's it, I'm done. Now, those of us who have raised kids, especially those who have raised them through the teenage years, there has been a temptation, hasn't there, to not endure all things. I am drugging that kid, put him in the trunk, and in the middle of the night driving far, far away and kicking him out, you know, in the woods or something. And then I'm going to drive back real fast, pack up the house, move, not tell them the address, change my phone. In fact, I'm going to try and get into witness protection program. I don't want to be found again. I quit. I give up. But you didn't do that. You may have been tempted to, but because you love that kid, you hang on there. You don't give up. You don't throw your hands up. Right? Well, how are you doing so far on loving? Doing all right? You know, see, this thing called love causes action. These are the things that love does. Now, there's some more things on the checklist. Back in 1 John, we're in chapter 3, but look ahead there to chapter 4. Look what it says in verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then look at verse 19. And we love Him because He first loved us. See, folks, love initiates. Love doesn't wait for somebody to love them and then they'll turn around and respond in love. But if you have love for somebody, then you're going to initiate love. You're going to initiate that love there. And then look one more chapter ahead, chapter 5. Look at verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God. Oh, here's a pretty clear one, huh? By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. See, folks, if we love each other, then we're going to love God, and we're going to keep His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But understand how this works. See, the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome, He says. No, they're just the opposite. They're freeing. They're safe. They're good for us and for those around us. When God says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt do no murder, and tells us not to cheat or lie or any of those other kind of things, that they're good for us. They're good. They have good consequences when we don't do what God says don't do. Yeah, and you know, they may even keep us out of jail by not doing those things. But they're good for the people around us too. If you love somebody, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to cheat them. You're going to say, God, I love you. I love this person. And I love you enough to do what you say so that these people are blessed. So that they, everybody around me, they don't get ripped off. They don't get lied to. I'm going to be blessing them by keeping your commandments. And it goes for even things like fornication and adultery. See, a lot of times now, we, in our society, we're at this point where we're saying, oh, yeah, this is a victimless crime. In fact, it's not even a crime, man. Who's to say if that's wrong or not or whatever? Well, God says. And if you really love somebody, especially guys, because it's usually the guys, well, if you love me, you'll let me. Well, that's baloney. If you love her, then you're going to want what's best for her. And if you believe God and God says, this is wrong, it's sin, it's wrong, and you believe God, you know, okay, God, you say it's wrong, you say that there are bad consequences that'll happen if we do this, I don't want bad consequences for her, therefore I'm going to do whatever I can to keep her pure. That's love, folks. The other stuff, that's just lust. That's just wanting to consume, seeking your own desires. That's not seeking what's best for the other person. This is real love, if you do that. Now, how did you do on that whole checklist there? There's a lot of things there, right? Maybe you did pretty good. I hope so. You love Him? Look at verse 19. You did good. Look at this. And by this we know that we are of the truth. You do these things, you know you're of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before God, or before Him. Now, that phrase, assure our hearts, means to set at rest. In other words, if you went down the checklist and you went, hey, all right, yeah, there's some things I need to work on, but by and large, I'm doing pretty good. It's like, whew, my heart is at rest. Yeah, all right, I'm doing good. But what if you didn't do so good? What if you, oh man, you know, I don't even know, man. I don't even know if I'm saved, man. You know, oh man, I'm lowering a snake's belly, man. It's bad. Well, look at verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. See, He knows whether you really aren't loving like you should, or whether you're just condemning yourself unjustly. You know, you see a little bitty speck here or there and you think, oh, I'm horrible, I'm terrible, you know. And understand what condemnation means. If our hearts condemn us, that word condemn means to have guilt that causes us to give up. It's that, oh, I'm bad, I'm horrible, I might as well shoot myself in the head and go to hell right now, you know. That's condemnation. But that's not what God does. God doesn't condemn us. He convicts us. See, in conviction, God will say, you're not meeting up here. You're not doing good. Yes, that's right. You're not doing good. Now, come on. Let's get it together here. Come on. Let's repent. You know, confess your sin and all that. And I'll forgive you. And I'll make you do good. I'll give you the strength to do good. Remember, like we saw in 1 John 1:9, that God has provided a cleansing for our sin. That if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we come to God and say, you're right, God. I've sinned. I haven't been loving the way that you love. I haven't been loving the way that you say that I should love. And I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. And help me to love. Help me to have the kind of love that you have for my brothers and sisters. And you know what? When you do that, instantly, you are right with God. Instantly, you are clean. And that's why Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, we're not walking according to the flesh when we're walking with the Lord. We're, you know, every now and then, like we said before, we may sin. We may step in it every now and then. But right away, we come to God and we confess that sin. And if He has shined some light on you today and you realize, man, I'm not loving like I ought to, well, then all right. That, you know, that's good that you know that now. But don't be condemned. Allow God to cleanse you. Allow God to forgive you. Receive that. And what an awesome thing, like we learned a couple weeks ago in 1 John 1:7, that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, keeps on cleansing us from every sin. So we can be clean. God is much greater than our hearts that might condemn us. He's so much greater. He goes on in verse 21 and says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. See, if we're living that kind of life that we're loving like we ought to, or when we realize we're not, we repent, and then try to love like we're supposed to, well, He says then our hearts won't condemn us, and we have confidence towards God. That word confidence means an assurance. It's what Hebrews 4 talks about in verse 16, when He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, we can have that confidence, knowing that we can come to God and ask Him whatever we have need of, because we've been cleansed. But whatever our sin is, and we're right with the Lord because of what He has done for us on the cross. And so we can go to God and say, oh, this is my need. And we know that He hears us. In fact, look at verse 22. He says, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Well, you look at, we only get from Him when we keep His commandments and do those things that please Him, pleasing in His sight. That sounds a little bit like a works-based relationship there. That we got to do good for God to love us? No, not at all. He loves us. He loves us, and even when we're not doing good, He still loves us. But the deal is that His commandments, He's saying that we need to be keeping those things. Well, what are the commandments? Look at the very next verse. Look at verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's the commandment that we need to keep. We want our prayers answered. We want to have that boldness, that confidence in going before God, knowing that I can go boldly before His throne and receive whatever I need. Well, then I need to believe in Jesus Christ. I need to believe in Him, and I need to love my brother and sister. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And He makes it real easy. It's not a complicated list. It's not easy to do all the time, but by His grace and by His strength, we can do those things. But that's what it is, that we believe Him enough to do what He says, love one another. Oh, man, that's it. Now, if today you realize that, you know, I didn't do so good. Maybe I've done some of this stuff, you know, and I've been loving in some ways, but man, I really have been messing up here, and I haven't been loving the way that I ought to. Well, in a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity just to pray the Lord and confess that sin to the Lord, receive the forgiveness, and you can go out of here skipping, you know, with everybody else. Say, yes, Lord, thank You for that. I'm clean, and I have that confidence with You, and oh, yeah, You love me, and I'm going to love my brothers and sisters from here on out. But maybe you realize, as we're going through these things, you know, I don't know if I'm really a Christian. I don't know if I've given my life to Christ. Have I ever really received what He has done on the cross for me personally? Well, I want to give you an opportunity to do that, to put your trust in what Jesus did on the cross for you. Okay? Let's stand up and pray. Father, thank You so much for giving even a list like this that we can look and see how we're doing before You. Lord, how horrible it would be if You didn't. You just told us that we need to love, but we didn't know how. We didn't know what love was, and we wouldn't know if we're doing it or not. But thank You, Lord, that You gave us this. And Father, I pray right now that if there is anybody here that maybe they haven't been doing love, and they realize that, Lord, they're in love with You, they walk with You, but they really haven't been loving their brothers and sisters as they ought. And Father, right now I pray that You would bring that conviction, and that they would just want to right now just surrender all that to You and receive Your forgiveness. And if that's you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if that's you and you realize that, then, you know, I'm not going to have you raise your hand or anything like that, but I'm just going to lead you in a prayer right now. And if you mean it, repeat after me, and God hears your heart, then He'll cleanse you. And He'll remove every bit of sin from you, and He'll give you that strength that you need to love as He loves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am sorry that I have not been loving as I should. Forgive me, please, Lord, because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. Lord, I receive that forgiveness now. And I pray that You'd fill me with Your Holy Spirit, that I would have the power to love as You love. Help me, Lord, to be an example of Your love for my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name.